The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. You can find all the lines and available odds, of course, at the DraftKings Sportsbook app. North Carolina listeners, don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SBNFL. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code SBNFL. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Welcome, everybody, to this special edition of BGN Radio. I am Brandon Lee Gowton, your host here. I wanted to do a special episode because why not? It's the off season. We're in a quarantine time. For today's special guest to talk about Carson Wentz and some other Eagles topics, I have Dr. Edwin Porras here with me. Edwin, how are you doing here in these quarantine times?
I think we're all over here with my wife and I. We're doing as good as we can be. What about you guys?
Doing good. And I should obviously mention that Edwin works for fantasypoints.com. You can check out his work there. You can also follow him on Twitter at FBInjuryDoc. But for our listeners who might not know you, Dr. Porras, what can you tell us about your medical experience, your football experience, and then what you're doing for Fantasy Points?
Yeah, so as far as my football experience, you can just call me a washed up old football player. That's about the extent that you really need to know. And in terms of my training, so I did 4 years of undergrad, did an exercise science degree at Kansas State University, and then I went on to do my doctor of physical therapy over the last 3 years, which is essentially diagnosis, treatment, and management of patients who have any type of muscle, nerve, type of injury. And I've really leaned towards the sports performance side of things, especially my background, my undergrad, my exercise science stuff really my passion for that came out after I started doing my doctorate classes. And I really enjoy doing any type of like injury analysis. I really like teaching. I think that's really where my passion lies. And I think that's why part of this injury analysis stuff for the fantasy stuff really came to be. I'm with Fantasy Points now, like you said. I'm super fortunate to be over at people with John Hansen and Joe Dolan, all those people over at Fantasy Points. They are essentially get this massive team together. Are you a fantasy sports guy? I'm sorry.
Honestly, you know, it's funny. I am not so much. Used to be before, like, I feel like football writing became my life, and then it kind of just like that consumed me, and I kind of the fantasy interest isn't as the same as it used to be.
I totally understand that. No, and it's definitely not everybody, but the team that they got together over there is sort of, I like to joke that it's like the 92 Olympic team. They have Grant Barfield and Scott Barrett, these names that sort of in that like subsector of football. Of NFL writing and stuff like that. They're sort of big name guys, and I like to joke that I'm the Christian Leitner of the 92 Olympic team. So that's how I feel over there. Just those guys are all sort of proven, and at this point, in that section, as sector of life, anyway. So yeah, fantasypoints.com is a website. If you're interested in fantasy football, if you want an edge, I think that's really the place to go. Even if I wasn't a part of the team, I'd be plugging them because it's a really good team over there. So appreciate you asking.
Yeah. So the biggest reason I want to have you on here, Dr. Porras, today is because I stumbled across some of the interesting things you were tweeting about Carson Wentz. Specifically, this is around the time, I believe, or at least the time I saw them is around the 2020 NFL draft, when basically Carson Wentz becoming injury prone, or the topic of Carson Wentz being injury prone emerged again. Before we even get into Carson Wentz, though, I wanted to kind of talk about something I found interesting that you have in your Twitter bio. You say that injury prone is a lie. That is, I think, verbatim from your profile. And I kind of just want to get into that on a general level. Like, what does that mean? Why is that there? I just thought that was interesting.
Yeah. So it's definitely tongue in cheek. It's a really complicated answer, and it's really difficult to convey on Twitter, which is, I think that's why a lot of people yell at me and get mad at me. So 99.999% of the time that I've heard or seen people use the term injury prone from a general perspective, it tends to be lazy analysis. It tends to be, you slap a label on it, you can't explain it, you don't really know why it's happening. People get hurt, they use narrative and opinion, and they slap a label on. The problem that I have is that from a general standpoint, our human body is really, really strong, resilient, tough. If I go downstairs and I run 5 miles and come back, there's no reason I'm going to come back with like a twisted ankle, a dislocated shoulder, a concussion, etc. Because it's a low risk activity. But when you switch the activity and you say, let's go, you know, get in a car and drive 70, 75, 80 miles per hour, and God forbid I get in a wreck, I don't think anybody in their right mind would look at me if I got hurt in that car wreck and say, oh yeah, man, that person's injury prone. Like, no, right? They'd say that person got hurt in a car wreck. The narrative changes for whatever reason. When these football players put on their helmet and their pads, it's still a high-risk activity. So it's actually an anomaly to be healthy. I'm going to let you guess here, Brandon. From 2012 to 2014, it's Dr. Lawrence, and he's an MD, did a study with him and his crew, and they tracked 512 regular season games. So essentially, you can think of them as like 1,024 games, right? Because it's you take into consideration the 11 starters on each side of the ball. So in 1,024 team games, what percentage of those games would you say were documented as injury-free? If you had to guess.
I'm thinking it's low. I'm going to say 18%.
It is 2.3% of those games. So 23 team games, or if you're just tracking just the 512, the general 512 actual regular season games, it was 12 games.
Wow.
Being healthy in the NFL, and that's the point that I'm trying to get across, being healthy in the NFL is the anomaly. So when people, you know, use that phrase, that injury prone phrase, generally speaking, it's going to be wrong. And generally speaking, it's just sort of lazy.
When we get to Carson Wentz specifically here, again, this is why I found you. I stumbled across you because, again, there was all this discussion about Carson Wentz. And really, to put my own kind of editorializing opinion in here, I thought it's pretty unfortunate and pretty unfair for Carson Wentz to go out and, you know, coming off of last offseason, like, I get it. You know, he just finished the season injured again. You know, he obviously is the ACL tear in 2017, can't finish the season. 2018, the back injury comes up, can't finish the season. So understandably, you know, there's all these questions about him being able to stay healthy going into the 2019 season. But then Carson Wentz starts 17 games. You know, he only gets knocked out at the end of the season because Jadeveon Clowney, like, pretty much dives into the back of his head illegally. Should have been a penalty, was not called that. But you have the former NFL of officiating going out and saying that it was a cheap shot. So it's not like some kind of minority opinion here. It's not just like, I'm an Eagles writer, you know, I'm a Carson Wentz homer or whatever, and, you know, I'm just taking his side. Like, I think he demonstrated that he could stay healthy. And really, it was interesting because I feel like the discussion this offseason really hasn't even been so much about Carson Wentz being injury prone, to the point where the Eagles re-signed Nate Sudfeld as their backup quarterback, presumably to be the number two guy. And I don't see anyone out there saying, okay, like, this isn't good enough. The Eagles need to do more. But all of a sudden, they draft Jalen Hurts, and we're having this conversation now that the Eagles were really smart to draft Jalen Hurts because Carson Wentz is injury prone. Like, the discussion has now come up back again. Now, this is where you come in, Dr. Portis, where I see you having a tweet here, or a tweet thread, I should say, where you describe Carson Wentz's injury risk as minimal. My question for you would be, to what extent is Carson Wentz's injury history concerning, and why would you classify his past injuries as fluky, which I think I've seen you mention?
Yeah, so there's so many good points there, Brandon. The thing about Carson Wentz in particular is, you nailed it. I mean, he had just finished a season where he was injury free. And the specific injuries that he's had, even if you want to classify them as, put them into two buckets, right? What was the chance that they were going to happen in the first place? And what are the chances that it'll happen again or decrease his performance? And they're all really low. You can start with, from a general standpoint, in that same study I just mentioned, of like 4,000 something injuries, quarterbacks have a 1 in 12 chance of being injured compared to, let's see here, linebackers 21 in 100, you know, running backs 21 in 100, defensive backs 23, wide receivers 30 in 100. So you're looking at like half of what these skill positions do, less than half. So the chances of quarterbacks getting injured in general in the modern era is just ridiculously low. And when you look at, let's start with the most, you know, significant one, his ACL tear. 72% of ACL tears are non-contact in nature. And essentially what you need to know about what that means and why that matters is that because generally when you tear an ACL in a non-contact manner, there's something funky going on. That's the medical term that we learned in school is funky. There's something going on with your hip rotation, the strength in your hamstrings, the strength in your quad. There's something going on there. And that's just not what happened with Wentz. Like he just took on a defender. I remember watching when he did that. And I said, oh my, that's a brutal hit that he took at the goal line to dive at the goal line. And that's just not going to happen to him again. Like obviously it's a violent game, but I'm relatively certain he probably learned his lesson after that. The Eagles are a smart organization. They probably pulled him into the office. They said, hey, let's watch this game clip again. Hey, let's not do that again. The chances of him redoing that are so low. And the fact that I like playing the guessing game because it's so fun. So what are the chances, Brandon, or I guess let me put it this way. What percentage of quarterbacks would you say in that sort of 2012 to 2014 period, what percentage of quarterbacks in a total of 162 quarterbacks do you think tore their ACL in that time period?
No, I'm cheating here because I have the answer. Is it 2.5?
Oh, yeah. Where'd you get it?
I saw your tweet about it.
Oh, right. Oh, you did say that. Sorry. I just get so excited to share this stuff. No, yeah, 2.5. Yeah, that's 2.5. So the chances, and then you also look at the fact that the ACL, when you have ACL reconstructive surgery, that graft that they take, what they use to replace the old ACL, that thing heals and it doesn't really fully mature until about 12 to 16 months. So he's well removed from that. Just like Deshaun Watson is well removed from his two ACL surgeries. So like the chances that he's going to re-tear his ACL are extremely low. And then another part of that study that I found really interesting, well, this is actually a different study, but they looked at every single injury from 1980 to 2018. And what they saw in ACLs, and this is quote, an ACL had a significant negative financial impact on future earnings and was also associated with diminished performance following return to play in all NFL positions, except quarterbacks. So this ACL injury, according to the literature, this isn't my opinion, is not going to affect him long term. And the rest of the injuries that he's had are sort of the same thing. The wrist injury, research shows it's not going to affect him in the long term. The back injury, he was 25, I think, and peak bone density. And this is a little more conjecture, a little more theory, but he had those two fractures early in his life. And he was like 23 and then 25. His bone density is going to peak now that he's 26, I think 27, even though I'm not saying it won't happen again. That vertebral fracture he had is super uncommon. And now that he's stronger, he's older, his bones are a lot more dense. I don't think that it'll happen again is what I'm saying.
So it's fair to say then, just to kind of clarify here, like it's fair to say, or would you say it's fair to say that some of the conversation about him being injury prone is overblown?
So overblown. I think it's so overblown. And I understand, though, to a certain extent, like when the average person looks at a history and they say, man, that person has had a lot of injuries and they've missed a lot of times. Yeah, they have. And that's not wrong. At the same time, you have to look at what the data says, what the science says. You have to sort of clinically reason through everything. Like the cheap shot, like you said, from Clowney, that's just a cheap shot. Let's call it what it is, right? I mean, then that shouldn't happen again. And like I said, football is an extremely violent sport, but none of the injuries that Wentz has had are going to be disabling to him in the future. And there's very, very little reason that statistically they should happen again.
So we'll take a quick break here. And then when we come back, Dr. Portis, I want to ask you about some other Eagles players on the roster. So we will be back right after this.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Back here on BGN Radio, special edition with myself, Brandon Lee Galton, and Dr. Edwin Porras from fantasypoints.com. Dr. Porras talking about injury history and kind of it being overblown with Carson Wentz. Now, I know I'm going to have some devil's advocates out there because, you know, there are a good amount of Carson Wentz detractors. And just wanted to also set the stage here again. You're not an Eagles fan, so you're not coming at this from the standpoint of like you're just a Carson Wentz homer, you're a Carson Wentz defender, because that's what you get labeled at sometimes when you know you go into Carson Wentz and you defend him that way. But kind of going so taking that devil's advocate view, like okay, you know, Carson Wentz hasn't finished the past three seasons healthy. You know, 2017, again, the Super Bowl, Nick Foles has to come in. 2018, Nick Foles has to come in again. Last year, gets knocked out of the playoff game. Josh McCown comes in. So my question would be then, like, when does an injury history kind of become more concerning? I think you listed an example in some of the tweets I saw you tweet out. And I specifically kind of, I guess, Sidney Jones would kind of come to mind to me, you know, an Eagles player here who had an Achilles tear leading up to the 2017 NFL draft, and which is why he fell that year, thought he could go in the first round, falls to the second round. And then since then, he's had a bunch of kind of injury issues since then, hamstring and other kind of nagging issues. So that's my question for you is like, when does an injury history kind of become more concerning?
Yeah. So an injury history becomes concerning when you see a pattern that A, statistically recurs, and B, from an anatomical physiological level, is makes sense. So like an example is a concussion and a clavicle fracture and a ruptured spleen and a torn ACL. Those are all just out of the blue random injuries. The ruptured spleen, ACL, and clavicle fracture, that's like Keenan Allen at the beginning of his career, and people labeled him injury prone, and he's been fine since then. That's a totally random sort of set of injuries. When you look at a player like even like you're like Sidney Jones is sort of an example. He's got connective tissue issues that he's been dealing with, right? Like sort of even you want to call them muscular issues. The Achilles tendon is a massive tendon that runs alongside, you know, underneath from the calf. And the job of the tendon is to pull on the bone. And that takes a lot of tensile strength. And that's that you could technically label that as like a muscular strain. And then he, like you were saying, he had those hamstring strains. So that's a pattern where you're seeing, okay, is there something in his muscles? You know, is there some sort of dysfunction, muscle imbalance? What's going on with that? That he's just having these recurrent issues. And then I also think about Will Fuller from the Texans. He's unfortunately had this injury history since he came into the league, even before that, of these hamstring strains. And now he had a groin strain. And so it's just sort of, they feed into each other. And the ACL that Will Fuller had is also not a coincidence because the hamstrings work to protect the ACL. And so now he finished the season, the 2019 season, with a groin strain. You really do look at that player and you wonder. And I don't have the answers. I don't know. I'm not in the room with him. I'm not doing his physical. I don't have his medical records, et cetera, et cetera. You really look at that player and you have to question and sort of view them as, okay, this player needs to show me that they can stay healthy because they haven't been able to show us yet. And those are the types of players that I look at. And I don't even really label them injury prone. I just label them as, okay, they're not staying healthy for a reason. There's probably an underlying reason for that.
Getting into some of the other Eagles players on the roster that have injury concerns and I wanted to ask you about, wanted to see where you think Alshon Jeffrey kind of stands after suffering a Lisfranc injury in mid-December last year. When do you think he would be ready to play? Is the starting out on the PUP, obviously assuming there's a regular start to the season and everything,
right, you know, right.
Coronavirus pandemic notwithstanding. And to what extent do you still think he can be effective? You know, he's 30 years old. He's coming off this serious injury. Just wanted to see if you had any thoughts on where he kind of stands.
Yeah, that's, man. And that's the thing about Alshon Jeffrey is I like him as a player. And so it's really tough to give this type of analysis. So hopefully this will show my impartiality, right, to Eagles players. As I'm not very, very optimistic on Alshon Jeffrey. And that's just because of this recent study that came out on NFL players, and they had a Lisfranc injury. So the average return for these players after the Lisfranc injury is about 10 months. So give or take a couple of months there, right? It can be anywhere between 8 and 11, 12 months. He's 30 years old. So the likelihood of him coming back before that, like 9 or 10 month mark is I don't know, pretty low, generally speaking. And so that's what you're looking at. So yeah, the chances of him coming back and not being on the PUP are really, really low. So even when he does come back, unfortunately, the study also found that in the first season back, these offensive players who come back from a Lisfranc injury, they have a 21% drop off in performance. And they measured performance by receptions, touchdowns, and yards. So that's what you're looking at. And you're also looking at, if you want to think of another example, Hollywood Brown, Marquise Brown for the Ravens, he had a Lisfranc injury and he didn't have the hardware taken out all of 2019. And we saw him on the injury report. I think it was like more than half the season he was on there with an ankle or a foot. So those are that's sort of to use fantasy terms, that's like the floor on Alshon Jeffrey, is he's in and out of the lineup. He's in, on and off of the injury report. He makes a big play now and then. But overall, you look at the numbers at the end of the season and he's average or below average. And given his age, that doesn't really help him.
And then looking at another wide receiver the Eagles have here, DeSean Jackson, you know, he's coming off a 2019 core muscle surgery. You know, he was awesome in week one with the Eagles when they were down, I believe, 17-7 or whatever it was, 17-0 at one point to Washington in week one. And they stormed back and he looks awesome. And Carson Wentz and him really had a really great connection, not only in that game, but the entire offseason. Just watching him in offseason practices, those two were on the same page. So obviously it would be a big deal if DeSean Jackson could be effective in 2020. He's missed an average of 5.2 games in his last five seasons. You know, so it hasn't been a great go of it for him in terms of being available in recent seasons. But what do you kind of think about his outlook? He's turning 34 this year. He's coming off of this surgery. To what extent do you think DeSean can still be effective here?
So I will flip the narrative a little bit with DeSean just because of the type of player that he is. He has had these injuries before. So he had a groin strain, like even back in like 2009, 2010, I think it was. And then he went a long time without getting another one other than he had some hamstring injuries. Then he went until 2017, and eventually, you know, at 33 years old, he finally had surgery on the thing. This was like his third groin pull that he had that he hadn't fixed it. And so the fact that he's a burner really, really sets him back without doing that surgery. The good news is that when they did this surgery on a total of 57 NFL players, this is Dr. Jack and his crew, they did it on offensive and defensive players. They found that the pre and post sort of the performance and the career length did not change whether they had the surgery or not. So that's good news for DeSean. In other words, he's having the surgery, and from an average standpoint, he should be good to go. He should be low recurrence rate. He should be able to sprint down the field. That's his specialty. Even though he is 33 years old, the dude is just an absolute beast of an athlete. And the fact that he had the surgery luckily tells us that he's not going to have necessarily a drop off because of the surgery. The only concern that you have, and it's sort of a minimal concern really, is you combine his age along with sort of his specific skill set, and you just hope that he hasn't lost a step. But like I said, the research says that shouldn't happen. At the same time, he's older than the subjects that were in this study. So you take that with for what it's worth. Given his sort of role in that offense, I think that he can still be successful. I think he can still take the top off the defense, even if he's not making a big play.
One last question for you here, maybe another one, but one thing I didn't even prep you with it, so I'm just throwing this at to blind here, but it just kind of popped up in my head when we were talking about this. So the Eagles have kind of had an injury issue as a team.
Yeah,
they've been one of the more injured teams in the league the past couple of years. And they actively addressed that this offseason. They actually hired two significant hires in terms of a new director of sports medicine, former Vikings coordinator of rehabilitation / assistant athletic trainer Tom Hunkel. And they also hired former Rams director of strength training and performance Ted Rath, who was also Sean McVay's get back coach. Everyone knows him from that video where he's holding Sean McVay back from getting too far into the field.
I didn't know that he was a trainer. That's hilarious.
Yeah. So that's how everyone knows him as Philly's new director of sports performance. So when you look at adjusted games lost by Football Outsiders, both of those guys, or both of those teams, I should say, you know, it's kind of hard to attribute it to one guy there. but they have kind of encouraging track records in that like these are guys who've been on medical staffs where the team has been pretty healthy over the track record that they've been with. Is there anything to that? Like I've kind of thought like, okay, there's some kind of reason to be optimistic here. Again, it's not as simple to me probably as you hire these guys and then now your team is healthy. But the fact that like they're coming from these places where players have been able to stay healthy, do you think there's any kind of value that can be brought and just in terms of like what they know or how they've seen things done?
Yeah, I definitely do. The thing about the Eagles, though, is that they've been, and again, I'm impartial. I have no horse in the race. I basically become an Eagles fan, I guess, by proxy because of my buddy Ben that I told you. We did a podcast all of 2019 together, and every week he was asking me a new Eagles question, and so I had to answer those questions for him. And so I did a lot of research on the Eagles, but they're a pretty smart organization, and I'm sure you're well aware of this. They abide by what the data says. They abide by analytics. They make really smart decisions. I just think that a lot of teams do have bad luck. And like we were saying, if you think about Carson Wentz, if you lump him into the injuries that they've had over the last few years, and you sort of look at it and say, oh yeah, well, if Carson Wentz has been just sort of unlucky, sort of fluky, then that really contributes to the narrative that they've had a lot of injuries. And it's not so much that they have more so. I'd have to sit down and really tabulate if they do have more injuries on average, or if they're just a sort of bigger star names, if that makes sense. But there's value to be had in the training staff. There's value to be had in the rehab staff. And it's not just the head physician either, because the athletic trainers are really the unsung heroes of that medical staff. The physical therapists, they're the ones that spend time day after day, hour after hour with the players in their rehab, in their prehab, the strength and conditioning coaches that set up all of their off-season workouts and routines. So those are the people that really do make a difference and make an impact. So it's definitely, it shows me that by hiring those people, the Eagles are at least aware of what the narrative is about them. And they are also aware just for their own players' health and safety. They're taking it seriously, which is something that you really, really have to respect. I was having this conversation with Tom Simons, who's also over at fantasypoints.com, but I was saying to him, it's that I would be surprised. I would be shocked if a team like a team that's still in the dark ages, I won't point any specific teams out, that doesn't necessarily use data and analytics as much to their favor. And it shows on the field, and it shows in a lot of different aspects. But you can also consider the Seahawks. The Seahawks they tend to lie on the high side of the, or I guess on the low side of average. Like they have better injury quote unquote luck when they draft their players. And that's because they do their research, that's because they look at the data that I'm citing right now, and they just tend to have better quote unquote luck. Now, is that luck? There's probably a little bit of, you know, understanding and skill set that comes to that. But when it comes to the Eagles hiring these new guys and coming on board, I think it shows that they're serious, and it shows that they understand that there might be an underlying problem.
Okay, so one final question for real. You have Carson Wentz.
I could do this all day, man. Go ahead.
you've explained your outlook on him. So how do you feel then kind of about the Eagles as a whole? It's from a general perspective heading into the 2020 season. Like what's your outlook for them, you know, given that, you know, you're feeling like Carson Wentz, you might be more optimistic, I guess, on him than some others might be. Some neutral observers might be who, you know, think he's just going to get hurt again or whatever.
Well, I think that some people were taking me and saying what I think the one thing that I want to get across to Brandon is I'm not saying or predicting Carson Wentz will be injury free. I'm not saying that. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying he's not going to get hurt. It's a violent game. We just talked about how being healthy is an anomaly. What I'm saying is that the data tells us, and my clinical reasoning and my education tells me, that his injuries were statistically just the chances of them happening were low, and the chances of them happening again are even lower. So that's what I'm saying. So when it comes to the 2020 season for the Eagles, I mean, Miles Sanders is healthy, right? I think your guys' your guys' offensive line is relatively healthy. You guys drafted a couple of speed guys in the draft. I mean, from a physical performance standpoint and from a health standpoint, that offense is looking really, really good to me. And that's like you said, that's from like a neutral observer.
Well, thanks again, Dr. Porras, for jumping on here. I really appreciate the insight. I learned a lot. I feel like I hope the listeners learned a lot as well. Again,
for sure. Yeah.
do, Do you have any final thoughts, any final things you want to plug before we head out?
No, I really appreciate you having me on, Brandon. It means a lot. And I wasn't clear in the beginning. You called me Dr. Porz the whole time. Super respectful. I'm sorry. You could have just called me Edwin. I should have made that more clear. But I appreciate how respectful you were, how professional you were. And this was a good time, man. I like talking about Carson Wentz and his injury. So everybody make sure to go to fantasypoints.com if you're a fantasy player.
Also, follow Edwin on Twitter at FBInjuryDoc. Again, check out his work, as he said, on fantasypoints.com. You can also follow Fantasy Points on Twitter. That's Fantasy PTS. So make sure you do that because there's a lot of good people over there. Again, Joe Dolan, also a Philly guy, I feel like. I think that's fair to say.
Yeah. He just took Carson Wentz in our fantasy league that we're in, actually. It's funny.
Of course he did. So we have to get him on. We have to get him on. He rightfully called me out for not having on. So look forward to that. Thanks again for jumping on. This has been a BGN Radio special edition. We will talk to you next time. BGN.